El Cajeter versus Monica, please.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is David Ruffman. I represent Mr. El Cajeter in this matter. In our brief, we posited two issues. One was whether the statute that strips the federal courts of jurisdiction over discretionary decisions of the immigration agency, whether that statute applies only in deportation removal proceedings or whether it applies to all immigration decisions. The second issue was whether this decision at issue here is actually a discretionary decision. With regard to the first issue, the court has ruled against our position in the Samira case from, I believe, in July, and my understanding is that rehearing was just denied on, the request for rehearing on bank was just denied. So we do concede that there is binding precedent of this court that rules against us on that decision. We feel we're in an awkward situation on that one because while researching this brief, we located a provision in the legislative history, which we think is very clear and clearly shows that Congress intended that this provision only applies to deportation or removal proceedings. And that provision, quite frankly, we did not cite it to the district court, but it was not cited to this court in the Samira case, and it was not cited to the other courts that have reached that issue. So we're in this awkward situation where there are now three circuit courts of appeals that have ruled on this issue, and not one of them has even seen this argument about the effective date provision. Be that as it may, the crux of our case involves whether the immigration decision here is a discretionary decision. If it is discretionary, there is no jurisdiction to review it. If it's not discretionary, the district court does have jurisdiction to review it under the Administrative Procedure Act. I think the easiest way to illustrate our point that this is not a discretionary decision is a very simple analysis of the statute. The statute sets up a procedure for petitioners, and that could be either United States citizens or it can be an employer, who seeks to bring a foreign citizen to the United States. In this case, it was an employer who filed a petition for Mr. El Cajeter, seeking to have him come work for their mortgage company. That petition, the statute says, if after the investigation of the facts, the Attorney General shall approve the petition if the person is qualified. The next, that's in section 8 U.S.C. 1154. Right after that in the statute, it says, notwithstanding that, no petition can be approved for somebody who has previously committed marriage fraud. So you can't approve a petition, whether it's approved filed by a wife or an employer, if the alien has previously committed marriage fraud, has been found to lie to immigration about a marriage. In this case, the petition was approved for Mr. El Cajeter. It was filed by the petitioner, his potential employer. This prohibition against marriage fraud did not come up. Later on in the proceedings, the INS instituted an investigation and made a determination that they believed there was marriage fraud involved here. And they initiated a procedure to revoke the visa petition. The statute that talks about revocation says that the Attorney General may at any time, for what he deems to be good and sufficient cause, revoke the approval of the petition. That sounds like it's a discretionary decision. He may, for good and sufficient cause, revoke the approval. But when you look at it more closely, you realize that what the statute is saying is you may revoke the petition if the person was not qualified in the first place. And that's exactly what the Board of Immigration Appeals has said, that that's what this statute means. There is nothing in the decision, there's nothing in the jurisprudence in the entire immigration system which says that a petition can be revoked willy-nilly for discretionary reasons. It has to be because the person wasn't qualified in the first place. And that has been very, very clear from the Board of Immigration Appeals. It's very clear from the decision in Mr. El Cajeter's case. And I think that's the main point we want to make here, is this is just not a discretionary decision. It's a type of decision that courts routinely have reviewed. This court has done it in the past in an almost identical case, the Ghali case. And I don't think the statute that was enacted in 1996 affects the court's jurisdiction to review that in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.
All right, counsel. Counsel?
May it please the court, Jeff Wadsworth with the Department of Justice, appearing on behalf of Pelley.
Can you talk louder? Only
sure.
The angels can hear you.
Jeff Wadsworth with the Department of Justice, appearing on behalf of Appellee Alma Monica. In this case, the district court properly held that it was without jurisdiction to review the INS's discretionary decision to revoke Mr. Alcaider's visa petition. The statutory scheme under the Immigration Nationality Act, as amended by the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, makes clear that Congress intended to protect executive agency discretion and to significantly restrict judicial review of claims challenging the exercise of those agency discretions. In this case, two relevant provisions of IRERA dictated the district court's ruling, and the first is Section 1155 of Title 8, which, as Mr. Rebman correctly quoted, provides that the Attorney General has the at any time for what he deems to be good and sufficient cause may revoke the approval of any petition approved by him under Section 1154, which deals with the granting of a visa. The second provision that is relevant here is Section 1252A2B2, which provides that notwithstanding any other provision of law, no court shall have jurisdiction to review any decision or action of the Attorney General, the authority for which is specified under this subchapter to be in the discretion of the Attorney General. And Section 1155 of Title 8 is within that, within this subchapter, and it clearly provides on its face discretion to the INS to revoke petitions for visas. Two district courts have so held that 1252A2B2 precludes judicial review of INS decisions to revoke. We cite them in our brief, the ANA International case in the District of Oregon, and the Sistronics Corporation case in the District of D.C. So I think that it clearly is a discretionary decision. The district court so held properly, based on the language.
Attorney General can look over a case and kind of look the other way faced with a marriage fraud problem?
Well, according to the statute, he has the authority to revoke for what he deems to be good and sufficient cause. And that's the only statutory provision at issue here.
Is that a no statutory mandate to enforce the law?
Correct, Your Honor.
With respect to marriage fraud?
Correct, Your Honor. There is no statutory mandate to requiring INS or the Attorney General to revoke in cases in which in cases in which there is marriage fraud. Now, that may very well, and it was in this case, considered to be a good and sufficient cause to revoke. But under the statute provided by Congress, there is no such statutory mandate. In fact, there are no factual predicates necessary to find good and sufficient cause that are provided legislatively.
Do you know that this is good and sufficient cause? Is that your theory?
Correct, Your Honor.
Is that an objective or a subjective standard, according to your theory?
It's essentially subjective, in the sense that it provides the discretion to the INS to determine, and the statute is clear, for what he determines to be good and sufficient cause, and for what he deems to be sufficient and good cause.
Is it the INS that determines that, or the secretary?
Through the statute provides it, confers this authority on the Attorney General, who in turn is delegated it
right.
to the INS. Who, as I understand, the INS has been delegated to the district director, who is the appellee in this case. We also raised the alternative argument that the petitioner here, Mr. Alcaider, should have exhausted his remedies as well. The district director reached their decision that they were going to revoke the petition the visa petition, and Mr. Alcater had the opportunity to then challenge that to the with the administrator.
Does the Darby decision say that?
I beg your pardon?
Does the Darby decision hold that?
The Darby decision says that in the context of the APA, a petitioner may not need to appeal to exercise his administrative appeals in cases in which it's optional. Now, we would contend that in this case, the APA is not applicable for the reasons we frankly cite in our first argument, and that is that if you look to the APA, Section 701A, this matter is precluded from judicial review by the 1252A2B2 provision. And in addition, it could be considered to be committed to agency discretion, which would remove it from the APA context altogether. So we think the Darby case is distinguishable on that ground.
All right. Is that all?
If Your Honors have no other questions, that's all I have.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
All right. Court, you're through. Did you say, Counsel?
Yes, I am.
All right. The court will take the case under advisement.